So glad to see all of you here. We've got a good number here. We've got some good visitors with us today. And we're always thankful for those that are here to worship God with us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And once you're there, I want you to just kind of set your Bible down in your lap for a moment. I want you to imagine with me that you're on a camping trip. And you get there late afternoon, and you start to set up camp. You start to set up your tent, and it's early December, and it's getting kind of cool as darkness comes. And so you not quite finished building camp, and you build your fire. And then you get back to work, and you're finishing putting your tent together, and getting everything set up for your time there. And the fire's been burning for some time now, and the wind has kind of put a strain on it, and the fire is starting to get low. And soon, by the time you're done setting up camp, and you set your chair there around the fire, now the fire is just, you know, some coals with some kind of orange and red embers there. And that fire is a picture of our faith. In that we begin our journey, we begin our trip as a Christian. Remember, we're just sojourning here, we're just camping in this world. And so we begin that journey here, and our flame is high. But as time goes on, things weigh on it, and our fire starts to die down, and if we're not careful, it just becomes embers, and if we're really not careful, it'll go away completely. That may have been the case with the church at Ephesus when Paul was writing this letter, that they had been Christians for some time, but maybe their faith was starting to die down. Maybe some things in their lives were starting to get away. We know this happened to them by the time that the book of Revelation was written, because Jesus wrote a message to the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2 and says, look, you've left your first love. And you can just see that fire, it's just embers at that point. And he said, you better fan the flame if you want to make it, if you want to get through this. I want you to listen in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, as Paul tries to fan the flame of the church at Ephesus. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He says, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show us the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. As Paul talked about the grace of God, and he talked about the lives that the Ephesians used to live, he really reminded them of what grace is. Grace is undeserved favor. It's a gift that they didn't earn. There was no reason that Jesus had to offer us this gift of salvation, but it was because of love. It was undeserved. Because he said, You used to walk, you were just living for yourself. The decisions you made, how you spent your time, how you spent your money, the choices that you made in life, the career that you chose, everything about your life was about you. And it was about getting what you want. And it was at no matter what the cost. And he said, you came to realize the despicable person that you had become, so selfish and so greedy. And you looked at the cross of Christ and you saw God Himself humble, humbling Himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, that you can be forgiven of your selfishness and your sin. And what honest person can look at the cross and not just be filled with gratitude in their heart for the grace of God? I recently asked some of our brethren from different places. What I'm about to read to you is from different brethren, some in Alabama, some in other places of this country, some people in other countries, but our brothers and sisters in Christ. And these are true stories of God's amazing grace. Many years ago, I used to show a hot temper in reaction to many people and things that happened. I saw that my anger was getting the best of me, controlling me, and knew I needed to do much better. With the help of the Lord, I have been able to overcome that spirit of anger. I can still become angry when the cause is justified in my judgment, but Christ has helped me to do a much better job in holding it down. The Lord has forgiven me so that I rarely even think about that part of my past. Nell Hazelwood wrote, I don't need to remain anonymous. The bitterness of sin needs to be exposed to the light of God's healing love and word. Besides, too many people know my life story to keep it hidden. If by telling my story to someone it will encourage them to seek Christ and the peace of forgiveness and grace, then I willingly will reveal all. Besides, we are all slugs on the sidewalk of life. There is no one who has not sinned. No sin is big or little. They all offend our righteous God, and we all need His love and grace and forgiveness. I grew up in North Alabama, one of seven children of a gospel preacher and godly family. They sent us to Athens Bible School, and I had the best teachers and friends while I was growing up. I attended Florida College, dated godly men, and was well liked on campus by faculty and students. I lived with every intention of serving God faithfully all of my life. I went to work for an airline, and in my middle 30s, allowed myself to be attracted to the world. I led an alternate lifestyle for several years, letting what I felt control me rather than trusting God, my family, and my Christian family to help me through. My congregation scripturally withdrew from me. Members of my family separated from me. People with homosexual desires are no different from people who have a tendency to tell lies or drink or any of the other sins Paul lists in 1 Corinthians 6. I take great comfort in his words. Such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Our young people are being throttled by the homosexual communities. They're presented with temptations in school and on TV. Homosexuality is presented as normal. They listen to music that says, I was born this way by Lady Gaga. We were not born this way. Paul says we exchange the natural for the unnatural in Romans 1. The bottom line is we all have choices. We can choose to lie or steal. We all have desires. Everyone has to make a choice about whether to control their appetites. All teens have a choice about whether to sleep with someone before marriage. All married people have a choice about whether to sleep with someone other than their spouse. Whatever our desire is, we get to make a choice. And all men and women get to choose whether they will enter into a homosexual relationship with another of the same sex. And even couples get to choose whether they live together before marriage. Alcoholics get to choose whether they take a drink or not. If you want to ask me anything, please do so. I'm willing to talk to anyone who wants. True story number 3. I too am proof of God's amazing grace. I started drinking very heavily when I was in the 10th grade, all the way until graduation. After a brief stint in the military, I decided to preach the gospel. Since then, these past 11 years, I've been a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Praise the Lord. Number 4. As for myself, before I became a Christian, I was guilty of sexual sins. And between my 18th and 24th year, I was involved in that. For me, that was probably the biggest one. It has been a struggle for me, even after I became a Christian. I mean, repentance does not mean that all temptations are gone. And of course, the pain that I gave my parents, in which I did what I wanted to do, that also has been heavy on my heart. However, I know that God has forgiven me of all of these things. And another wrote, I truly do not care if you use my name. My story is widely known among brethren in the area where we live and other places. I'm not proud of it in any way and have wished many times I could erase the memory chip, but I decided a long time ago if I could keep one young lady from making the same mistakes that I made, I would talk about it. It was very painful to talk about it first, but got a little easier the more I talked about it. I've taught a class using my story as the main point, and it was very much appreciated. I taught a lesson at our local ladies' Bible class entitled Recognizing Life's Uncertainties, Choices That Affect Eternity, from the workbook Reveal in Me by Gene Sullivan. This lesson was perfect for me because it fit so well with my story. She suggested there are two ways an unbelieving husband can treat you. Encourage you to go to church and occasionally go with you or hinder you from going. I suggested there is a third way. He can lead you away from God. I will gladly share my story with you. I was raised in the church, but did not have a strong faith of my own. I now think of my former faith as my grandmother and mother's faith. I married a non-Christian who called himself an agnostic. He said maybe there was a God and maybe not, but he didn't think so. I believe he knows there is a God now. He died in June 2006 of kidney failure. I was told he would not take his meds or go to the doctor because it interfered with his alcohol. It was very easy for me to allow him to lead me away from God. I was unfaithful for over 16 years and lived a very worldly life, which scares me to death to think about now. Thankfully, drugs were never a part of my life, but alcohol was. I have a whiskey bottle sitting on a table in the great room for two reasons. One, I think it's a pretty bottle, but two, I drank what was in the bottle, and I keep it to remind me how far down you can go. We had a business for many years and then sold it. He met a woman at his new job, dated her for 1.5 years. I did not find out about it for several months because they traveled together and were not around me, and eventually wanted her for keeps. Even though I was unfaithful, I still did not believe in divorce. It was a very traumatic time for me, but I thank God for all that trauma because it shook me up enough to make me realize I needed to get my spiritual life together. I was restored June 4th, 1989. I looked around at all the young couples at church and I was jealous of what they had and wanted it for myself. I prayed that I would meet a strong, faithful Christian who could help me remain faithful and grow stronger. I did not care about good looking, house, car, or job. I just wanted a strong, faithful Christian. Well, God blessed me with that and everything else, and I am very thankful for all of it. We met on August 19, 1991 at a gospel meeting at church. We were married. It will be 20 years this coming October, and it has been a wonderful journey. I've had many regrets about a lot of things from my old life, but I finally decided I had to live that life to totally appreciate the wonderful life that I have today and the wonderful man that God has put into my life. Sylvia Jones, wife of the most wonderful man on earth, Willie Jones. The last story I want to read to you today reads like this. I was raised up in the church and was baptized at 13. At 19, I went to the army and lost my way. I turned away from the Lord. I started to drink and all that goes along with it. I was married at 21 and nothing changed until I was 27, when my wife told me she had enough. We had two kids at the time, so I told her I would give up the wildlife. She prayed for a long time for me. She told me later she had. She brought the preacher home with her one Sunday after services, and we talked a long time. And the rest, as they say, is history. I am grateful for God's amazing grace. I am 59 years young today, August 10th, 2011. Jesus was right when he said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Still make some mistakes from time to time, but our loving Lord will forgive. If you're like me, a lot of these stories that we have read just now seem all too familiar. And maybe your struggle has not been with alcohol. Maybe your struggle has not been with sexual sin, but maybe it was anger. Maybe it's been lies. Maybe it's just been selfishness. You just can't seem to think about anybody else before yourself. But whatever your struggle is, we can all look at the cross. And we can all see our God who loved us so intensely that He was willing to do that for us. And hopefully that'll fan the flame and help us and motivate us to be who we ought to be. Would you stand with me, please?
Desires and to live sensibly, righteously,
and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed, and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. If the grace of God inspires you to anything this morning, if you have not become a Christian, if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been buried with him in the waters of baptism, then do that today. There's nothing magical in the water. But what it says to God is, I believe and I put my trust in you. And he commanded baptism so that we could have that expression of faith. God, I'm thankful for your grace and I'm coming to you now to receive it. Will you come to Jesus this morning? Will you become a Christian? And maybe you're already a Christian. Maybe you've been baptized. But maybe you have watched the flame of your faith slowly smolder down to coals. And you know that the way that you've been living on a daily basis has not reflected your gratitude for the grace of God, but have shown you slowly falling back into the world. I've been there. And if you'll just simply come forward this morning as we sing the next song, nobody's going to make fun of you. Nobody's going to scold you. But what we're going to do is we're going to do our best to encourage you. And then we're going to lift it all up to heaven and we're going to pray to God on your behalf, who said that if you truly repent of your sins, he will forgive you. And the blood of Christ can cleanse you from every sin. Whether you need to become a Christian this morning or you need to pray for your forgiveness, show God the gratitude for his wonderful and amazing grace by coming forward as we sing this song.